care institution administrators, and assisted living facility managers. To the general public, the board will have regular monthly board meetings, which is open to the public on Monday, July 10th, 2023. Regular board meeting will be held at 1740 West 7th Street, board meeting in C. Phoenix, Arizona, and the time now is 09:05. A person with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter. Contacting the office through the Arizona Relay Service, as you make your request as early as possible. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed in the agenda, except items or matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon a majority vote of the quorum of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on a matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383 and for the purpose of discussion and consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or refer to them simply as a resident. So do not use any resident individual name or identifiable name during an open meeting. Items that are referenced as consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for the July 10th, 2023 regular board meeting is as follows. First, we do roll call, please.
President Kidder.
Here.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Brimhall.
Here.
Member Cook.
Here.
Member Felix.
Here.
Member Coford.
Here.
Member Hill is absent.
All right, we have a quorum. At this time, we have Declaration of Conflicts of Interest, ARS 38-503. Any conflicts of interest in any of the cases today?
I do.
Okay.
7C, number 2022 NCI 0509.
And the accusing. All right, very well. Anybody else? Okay, move on. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. If they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form, so that the board is aware and that they're here today and they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing the staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. And at this time, I have a request for Paul Mitchell.
Yes, present. Okay, good morning.
Good morning. You have about 5 minutes to speak to the board.
Okay, I think back in 2015, I did apply for a reciprocity for my license from Indiana to Arizona. For some reason, they came back and said that I need to go back and take an MAB. And I'm like, why, when I have a license that has been active for 15 plus years? They said that there's a 2-point differential. So at the time, I took the exam and that time. So I'm like, that should be grandfathered because I cannot be penalized for changes in the NAB scores as at the time, you know, but I didn't get any feedback. And somehow I was trying to finish my PhD that time, so I was overwhelmed with a lot of information, traveling to go do data collections and stuff like that. So the whole thing fell off my radar. So what I'm coming back to do, because then I was told that one of the things I have to do is to approach the board and ask them to waive that exam requirement so I can proceed. But because I couldn't come back or I didn't have the time to come back, apparently the time expired and all that. So I guess, so I'm asking now to see if I can have that opportunity, maybe take the exam and and get a license issued, because I've been licensed now since June 1st, 1999, and the license is still active as we speak.
All right, well, appreciate you being here today and what you've said. What we'll have to do is direct you to just have this discussion with board staff, since we can't take any action on it at this proceeding today. But if you can contact them, then you guys can have a discussion on how to move forward from here. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else that at this time wish to speak to the board that's not already listed on the agenda? All right, hearing none. Review, discussion, and possible action on approval of minutes. Board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. The document at this point is a draft May regular meeting minutes of June 12, 2023. Any discussion?
Mr. President, members of the board, if I can just chime in. I just found out this morning that the minutes that I uploaded into the materials were the wrong minutes. They were for May. So if we can postpone this approval to next month, I'd appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Have we already approved May?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, for whatever reason, when I was copying the stuff in the Encore, I got the wrong minutes uploaded. Thank you.
In section 5. Okay. Next, I'd like to move on to section 7B. Staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Any board member wish to put on any of these? Or everybody okay with the staff recommendations? All right, I will make a motion to approve staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for items 1 through 6.
And second.
Okay. One.
It's okay.
Okay.
Discussion. Hearing none, we take to a vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. So anybody that's here for any 7B, items 1 through 6, your case has been approved for non-disciplinary letter of concern, and you may stay if you'd like, but otherwise you are released. Okay, next we move on to 7C. We have items 1 and then 3 through, actually, Susan, why don't you step up, we can do them all together. Or do you want to vote on the other ones?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right, 7C, items 1 through 21. Any discussion on any individual cases?
I so moved to do a motion that to approve of the dismissal of number 1 all the way through 21.
Okay, Becky, and I'll second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well, thank you. So anybody that's here for Section C, items 1 through 21, you may stay if you so choose, but you're otherwise dismissed, your case has been dismissed. Okay, just a little bit of quick housekeeping. If I call your name, just tell me that you're here. I'm trying to identify who's here for the disciplinary consent agreements or the formal hearings, but you do not come forward at this time. Jason Wright, not here. Bradley Evans, Baby Jane Acutin, Florencio Lalo, Remus Stefan, Lonnie James, Winifred Karuma. Monica Barber.
Here,
okay. Mariana Castro. Harry Rumorin. Aaron Rocha. And Kimberly Delgado. Number 9 is here. 11 is here, so Nuka. Come Rachely.
Yeah.
Rachel, okay, so you're here. Deborah Pineda. Okay. And Fernando Morella. Okay, all right, great, thank you guys. All right, so let's go to tab number 8, complaint number 2023 NCI 0032 for Anka Barber. Anka?
Yes.
Come on up. And Jack, is there anybody attending by phone today?
There is not.
Okay. Welcome, and please state your name for the record.
Good morning, my name is Anka Barco.
Thank you for being here.
I'm not sure how this will go, so you have to let me know.
I will introduce the case before we ask questions. Sit tight for a second. Okay, go.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0032. Licensee is Anka Barber, who's present here today. On November 3rd, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Goodyear Assisted Living Home, LLC, located in Goodyear. Compliance inspection identified two deficiencies in two different areas. Ms. Barber was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide staff her written response. It was on approximately December 7th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation. Ms. Walker is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
All right, thank you. All right, how long have you been the manager at this home?
Yes.
Yeah, how long have you been there?
Like the last year, because I was leasing that place, and that home was sold in January 4th of this year. So I was a manager for 1 year before I got the inspection.
Right.
But I'm a certified manager for assisted living for more than 15 years. 2 days before this inspection to my other place, I had an inspector with deficiency 3. And 2 days after, I had an inspection for Goodyear assisted living where I was fine with two issues. One, the surveyor was telling me that it being considered a technical deficiency, which when I got the letter from Arizona Health Department was not a technical deficiency. That was the battery which I just replaced in front of the surveyor, which was at the backyard door, which happens. We change always batteries to watches, to all kind of devices, so it just happened that that was epic because it was dying. So I just changed the battery. Actually, I got that. Violation.
And how do you ensure that that problem does not happen again in the future?
I was working in the evening prior to the inspection. Now I'm checking it twice a day, evening and morning. And then in the day, those batteries you cannot rely on that. Some of them are keeping longer, and some of them are just. You just notice that it's not making the sound, and when you notice that, you just replace it.
Okay. The other issue was about sufficient training regarding fall prevention and fall recovery.
Yes.
So what was in place at that time, and what do you have in place now?
Yes. So, from all the caregivers, I only misplaced that fall prevention form, which the way I am is kind of interesting. I'm assuring that all the time, and I'm double checking that all the papers are there. And I will always try to make sure that I'm on top of things, so the forms are there. I will double check. And I have now twice a month I'm doing that, in the middle of the month and now the beginning of the month, and I'm kind of checking and everything just to make sure. Because that form was there, I don't know how come that was misplaced. So from all the caregivers I ever had, that was the only paper missing, and the surveyor stayed 5 hours checking on absolutely everything. So yes, I didn't find it, it was not there. So that's why I'm here.
How many staff do you have working with you?
In that time, I don't remember, 6 caregivers or 7, so nothing was missing from none of them. So that's why it was, even for me, a question mark, but I was not finding when the surveyor was there.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So this says that there was a practice of giving false or misleading information, that there one of those forms was altered.
Yes, so I got back into the back of the form where that caregiver was, and I tried to do that paper one more time. She remembered that I did that, so I just got that paper one more time. So I had that class with the caregiver, and she said, I don't know, I don't remember, I know that we did it. So I said, let's sign it one more time.
So that happened on the spot while
yes.
the surveyor? So
yes, and I let the surveyor know that I'm redoing it only to the caregiver just to have it, because she said that, yes, I know, to give that class to me.
And she verified that with the surveyor?
The surveyor was
there?
Yeah.
Huh. So that was one missing document of
only
6 or 7 people?
Absolutely. That was the only one. That's why I'm sorry that I'm here for myself, not for, you know, and I always want to make sure that everybody in my facility is safe. You can even look at my records. And the fact that I didn't find that paper was shocking for me, but I couldn't provide it. I couldn't find it. And that was very inconvenient for me, because the way I am, and now to be in front of you. But I assume I couldn't find it. And that was the only single paper missing in my 2 facilities which I was managing at that time. 2 days in between inspection, not one piece of paper missing or anything else. So how that happened, I have no idea. I'm asking myself. But now I'm checking and double checking because of that happening, you know, when you are just trying to be so good with papers and to follow up on rules and regulations, that was really a bit off for me, and that's not representing me. I know things can happen, but I don't have an explanation for myself. How come that was not there?
And so now you're checking those files periodically to make sure that everything's there?
Yes, I'm really paranoid about that, to be honest.
Do you have extra batteries at the house?
Yes, and I was replacing that in front of the surveyor. The reason that I was not going to the health department to explain and don't agree with those 2 things was that the home was for sale, and closing was happening in the next 2-3 weeks, and I know that with something in the air, the owner will not maybe proceed and everything. So I want to finalize. That's why I was not going to the health department to dispute that. So now I'm here. That home changed the ownership, and in January 4th. The inspection was in November.
I'm going to do a motion, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm going to do a motion to do a letter of concern, because I do think that the paperwork was not there when the surveyors came, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, they had to redo the documentation. But the batteries, that could happen anytime with anybody.
I was told that would be a technical.
Technical assistance.
Yes, and I was expecting to have that paper missing, of course, in that letter because I couldn't find it. But with the battery, I thought that maybe, you know, everybody's different, and maybe she forgot, or maybe she didn't pay attention to that. But I changed it right away. It was working. I demonstrated in front of the surveyor, and honestly, that can happen. We have watches in every single room. We have a big one in the common area, and I noticed that sometimes, you know, the time it's not showing the real time, and I'm just going ahead and changing the battery. So now I'm just a bit more careful with this, and I even have my caregiver signing in the beginning and in the end of the sheet that they kind of walk through and check on it.
All right, so we have a motion that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 2023 NCI 0032 against manager Anka Barber, about issue a letter of concern. How about the board's concern is that the manager failed to provide sufficient evidence of fall prevention and fall recovery training. You all right with that, Becky?
Yes,
I am. Okay, so I'll second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate your time. All right, next we, let's see here, just about 9:30. Jeff, I'll do one more case and we'll do our first hearing.
Good.
Okay, tab number 9, Anuka Kamarechi, complaint number 2023, NCI 0039. Please come on up. Being here today. For the record, would you
please
state your name, please?
I'm Lisa Palmandel.
And counsel.
Welcome. Yes, President Kidder, this is Jennifer Wasserman. I'm with Davis Miles McGuire Gardner, representing Ms. Kamarechi.
All right, and I appreciate having you here today, too. All right, Phil, if you could outline the case for you, please.
Just like 2023-SEI-0039. Licensee is Anuka Kamarechi, who is present here with her attorney, Jennifer Washington. And on November 10th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Fountain View Assisted Living Home located in Fountain Hills. Compliance inspection identified one deficiency in one area. Ms. Kamarechi was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately December 16th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Kamarechi is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
All right. Ma'am, could you describe the events surrounding this day?
I think where she would like to start is just probably explaining her the two facilities that she managed and the distance between them, and that will help kind of set the background for what happened on the day of the inspection.
Okay.
From 1999, I was managing two facilities, one on Montrose Drive and one on Ridgewood Avenue. The distance between the facilities is 2 miles. In November 10th, I was out of the care home because my caregiver was in vacation. I had my husband as a backup and my son. my son's supposed to arrive at 10 o'clock, and my husband, I just released him because everything was going right and everything was going fine. About a minute or two before 10 o'clock, I received a phone call where there was an emergency on Montrose, and it was an unusual emergency where the caregiver got into the panic. They did everything right. They did the way they supposed to do, but I got with that phone call in the panic too, and I was thinking I have to go and be there. I made a couple phone calls, and I for a replacement of, and I wait until my replacement almost got there. I was away from the time I left to the time I came back 20 minutes. My daughter-in-law came to replace me because she was a little bit less distance than my son. He came after two. In that meantime, I guess right after I left, the inspector came.
The inspector arrived at the location you had just left?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So about how much time passed from the time you left the first home until the replacement showed up?
I will say less than 5 minutes.
No. And so you're aware that the state inspection says that there's approximately 10 minutes. Do you want to address that?
I made a phone call at 10 and 7 minutes from my home. So I don't know. In the inspection, it says at 10:15 she arrived.
Okay, this would be your designee? Certified caregiver showed up about 10 minutes after you left?
She didn't have certification. She was helping us in the past with like assistant caregiver, actually more doing activities with the residents, but she's our family member.
So she was designated.
Was what?
No. I don't think she was designated.
No, she was not.
She just showed up.
Yes.
Okay. Was your son designated?
Yes, he was.
Was he
here?
He
arrived after.
He arrived, but when did he arrive compared with your daughter arriving and you coming back?
He arrived right a minute or two after I came back. Hmm. And I was away 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. So now, understanding the facts, what have you put into place to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again?
The situation made me going out of business because I cannot go through this again. So I'm not managing anymore any facilities, and I don't own any more assisted living home.
When did you end your employment at this home?
On April 1st, I was done with the training, so the home, the new owner started March 1st.
Okay.
And I was there until just to introduce them, even if they had a new manager.
So are you planning on using your manager certificate again in the future?
I think this is my early retirement. I'm not sure if I will ever need the certificate again. For all of my good deeds and work over the 25 years, I would like to have that certificate. I didn't know how to get inactive, and I did renew my certificate.
Discussion on this.
So you renewed last month? Or
I renewed last month, yes. I didn't know how to go inactive, and we had planned vacation overseas. So I had all the requirements for renewal, and I did renew.
And you would like to keep your certificate in case you need it in the future or choose to use it? You'd like to have it?
I would like to have that certificate. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it again. To nobody else, I'm not going to be a manager, and I don't know in this age if I'm going to start my own business again.
Just for the board's clarification, you should be aware that the full inspection did go forward on that date. And this is the only deficiency that was noted.
For the inspection.
Yeah. Our perspective is that she did her best to try to get the coverage that she knew would be adequate to handle another emergency and fulfill her professional obligations with respect to being manager at the other location. But due to just a temporary human lapse in judgment. Her son had not gotten there prior to her departing the Montrose premises. In all fairness, if she were toileting someone in the restroom during that time, she would not have been available to the other residents then too. So it was just a very short period of time. And she did take steps and submit a plan of correction, which was accepted by the Department of Health prior to transferring ownership of the home.
I saw in your letter you sent to the NCIA that your son has taken on a greater role in the business.
Yes, he did.
Is he currently the new owner or involved in the management of the facility at this point?
He does have a manager, and he took over this facility where the second one on Montrose, we did sold the business.
So you sold one.
Yes.
To someone else.
To someone else, and this to my son.
And
he's doing a very good job. He's doing his obligations very good. The same thing to another facility.
So you are not the manager of that facility. He is the manager of that facility.
He doesn't have a manager. He needs just to go through the board certification to become a manager.
There's a different manager at Ridgewood
right now.
Okay.
Not her son.
But we're in the process of maybe working him through this process here so he could become a manager and be involved with that facility.
He will become a manager, and he went through the school and the exam in the school. The only thing is left the exam to the board.
So are you still overseeing the operations of the business?
I just give advice to both of them how to do it right, and I'm retired.
Are you working in any capacity right now?
Not much, no.
Or they call you with the question and
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. President, my concern is that the door was locked and the
survey or not, and had to wait till someone showed up to unlock that door. And in the meantime, whether it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, anything could have happened in that home with no caregiver present. Whether it's a lapse or whatever, I mean, that is really very concerning to me. And it's concerning to me because the door is locked, and if something happened, even the residents could not get out.
Right.
So this isn't just a little, I forgot, and I'm sorry, I won't do this again. If this is just, this is really one of those times that you hate that it happened, but you don't want it to ever happen.
Can I clarify something? The door, according to Member Campbell here, the door was locked. The surveyor said the door was locked from the outside and that they didn't walk in the door. Was the door locked from the inside? Like, could a resident or somebody go and, like, get out of the door if there was a fire?
They can unlock from the inside.
They can unlock from the inside. Okay.
But according to the report that I'm reading, it says the surveyor arrived at the facility, knocked on the front door at 10:05. No one answered. Surveyor knocked again. Surveyor heard a knock on the other side of the door in response, and from the other side of the door, R3 reported the door was locked, and no one inside the facility had a key to grant access to the surveyor. At 10:15, which is 10 minutes later, O1 arrived at the facility and opened the door. So they couldn't have gotten out if they... That's what worries me. They were locked in that building and no one was there to help them get out if they needed to get out, or if someone fell, help them get up. They were abandoned for 10 minutes. And anything could happen in 10 minutes. Anything. But that's my concern with this entire case. It's always my concern when I know that there's no caregiver present in the facility when a surveyor shows up, because they're supposed to have someone there 24/7. Period. So that's my concern.
I'm very valid. You see the staff's recommendation of the discontinuation?
Sorry. I probably did.
393.
393, thank you. Oh, there it is. Oh, I have another question, please. You said your son now owns the home, and has this board been notified that a new manager is in that home now?
Yes.
Okay. And it's not you?
It's not me.
Okay, thank you. I agree with it.
Okay. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A, and B1 for professional conduct, and complaint number 2023 NCI 0039 involving manager Anuka Comoracho. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, and the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70. Complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion. And successfully pass the state examination for managers administered by the board. And costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
And second.
And Wong.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. And the board staff will be getting with you guys to discuss the consent agreement. I'll be hearing from them shortly. And I appreciate you coming today. Thank you. 2022 and CI-07. Okay, Jeff, let's be here. Let the record reflect that Jeff Beebe is not in attendance. So we will begin.
President Kidder, members of the board, I was advised this morning that there's some of the factual allegations need to be amended in this particular case. So I'm going to ask that the board postpone this probably till the September meeting, because I need 35 days of notice. My apologies for the last minute notice, but staff would like to postpone this till September.
Do we need a motion for Mr. President?
We just administratively postpone it. Or do you need a motion?
No, I would undo a motion.
Okay, thank you. So I'll make a motion to postpone to future board meeting date.
Second.
And Susan.
Okay, President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, how was your trip?
Shame, sorry, that was the fastest experience.
You didn't even hear me say anything.
Claim 2023-NCI-0447. Licensee is Deborah Ann Pineda, who's present here today. September 28, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Amber Assisted Living Home located near Phoenix. The compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Pineda was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a written response. It was on December 16th, 2022, when DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantiated violations. 3 of those were repeat deficiencies. And Ms. Pineda is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Thank you, that's not what we were under the understanding. The only thing that we were in non-compliance of was renewing our license on time. I don't know any of this. Oh, okay, so this has nothing to do with this facility.
I didn't.
So this is very confusing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because
what facility is this for?
This building.
Amber Assisted Living on Hatcher.
That has nothing to do with me, but
I know, because I got the letter saying that it did specifically mention which care home it was. I thought it was her care home.
Oh.
Would you go ahead and go through and see what would like to answer questions? I believe they've been properly noticed with the case number. You have more than one case open right now?
Yeah.
With us? Okay.
All right, and this regarding Amber Assisted Living, 1438 East Hatcher. Inspection date, September 28th, 2022. Okay, are you prepared to discuss that with us?
The deficiencies?
Yes.
The deficiencies were
So this is not the owner of this of
no.
So
wow, you see that.
Ma'am, if you can speak up a little bit too when you're answering questions, that would be really helpful.
Okay. I'm so sorry, I'm not really prepared for this. I thought it was for terrible.
So we have a fingerprint card issue, medication issue, oxygen containers not secured, and pet vaccine issue.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure. Yeah.
She has the survey in front of her. Why don't we have her step back? We want another case so she can review the survey, get familiar with it, and then we can bring it back. That might be a little more productive.
Okay. You want to do that? Take some time and prepare and we'll come back.
Thank you.
All right, then let's move on to tab 14, Fernando Morella.
Sir, I have some not hearing the district.
First time you've heard that.
I'm sorry.
As do I, but I rarely hear that part. All right, Phil, if you get out my indications.
Before I get going, I'll just let you know that Mr. White is here. Jason Wright. So this is complaint 2023-ACI-0063. Licensee is Fernando Morella, who's present here today. On December 12, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation and compliance inspection at Angels Wings Assisted Living Home located in Chandler. Complaint investigation cited two deficiencies in two different areas. Compliance inspection identified five deficiencies in four different areas. Mr. Morello was noticed of the complaint. He did provide a written response. And on approximately January 25th, 2023, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated violation. And Mr. Morello is here today to discuss the investigations with the court.
All right, how long have you been the manager at this home?
I was a manager there from April of 2022 until the end of January 2023.
And the inspection was on December 12th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how much time did you spend in this home during this period of time?
Yes, sir. On weekends, mostly on Saturdays, I would be coming over there to about 2 hours, an hour to 2 hours, to just take a look, a physical inspection of how things are going on, and make sure the everything's in order to the best of my ability, and all the residents are in good condition.
So about how many total hours per week in this?
Per week, sir? I would say probably between one and two. Because
okay.
I go over there on weekends, especially Saturdays.
Okay.
So you do you manage another site?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you spend more time there?
I own the place, ma'am, the other one. So that's where I spend most of the time.
And just when you're only there 1 hour or 2 hours a week, that's it?
Yes, ma'am. Because there is an administrator who goes through the facility during the weekdays. And then on weekends, I go there just to double check everything.
So you are the manager, but you have a manager designee that is there during the
week. On the weekdays, certainly.
But you hang your license there and take the accountability for the actions that occur
yes,
or fail to happen
yes,
there.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Were you there during the survey, when the survey was happening, were
no.
you there present?
No, ma'am, I wasn't there because it happened on a weekday.
Did they call to notify you?
They called me afterwards. They notified me, but they didn't call me.
Did you take part of the plan of correction?
Yes, somehow, yes, ma'am.
Are you still hanging your license there?
Not anymore, ma'am. I had it, I asked for it back on January 31st of 2023.
And did you notify the board that you're no longer hanging your
license
for late?
Yes, ma'am.
So are you managing just one home now?
Just one, sir.
So I would believe that the homeowner or administrator of the other building, they're the ones who did the hiring?
Yes, ma'am.
And if they did hiring and a document was missing in their process of the new hire, what was your oversight?
What happened then was the administrator brought a potential employee just to observe and see if this will be fitting to her. So she's not to perform any tasks, but just to shadow or observe. During at that time, the administrator asked the potential employee, like, so can you give me your paperwork, your documents? I said, I can't bring them. So I said, okay, why don't you stay here? I'll just grab them. So I'm going, that's what the administrator said. At that time, when the administrator left, it was the same time that the surveyor came minutes later. And the administrator was phoned back to go back to the facility for the inspection.
So nobody was there that was supposed to be there except the residents. You didn't have a trained caregiver there?
There was a caregiver, ma'am. There was a trained caregiver that the employee would shadow.
But she was not the designated manager.
I believe she was the one of the designees. He was the designee, if I'm not mistaken. Employee number 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610R433407A and B1 for a professional conduct and complaint number 2023 NCI 0063 involving manager Fernando Morella. And the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate would stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70.
3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas: medication management and personnel requirements. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
And Wally, second.
Can we just update that to state that all other terms, this does not, is it's not applicable to the current credit balance that he will be obtaining in the next 2 years for his renewal? These credit hours aren't part of his renewal hours.
Right. You just say above and beyond the renewal hours required for license.
We just kind of
make that happen. Right. Thanks, Becky. You got what you did? Okay. I'll amend my motion for that.
One second.
Okay, you're welcome.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next we're going to jump back to section 6, complaint and notice of hearing, Kimberly Delgado, 2022 NCI 0478. Kimberly Delgado, are you here today?
Oh, we can. It's
10. Yeah.
All
right, let the record reflect that Kimberly Delgado is not in attendance today. July 10th at 10:03 a.m. in the NCI boardroom in the matter dealing with Kimberly Delgado, complaint number 2022-NCI-0478 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Nursing Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. Introductions at this time. First, with State.
Kimberly Sinanian, representing the state.
And Kimberly Delgado, are you present?
I am.
Mr. Delgado is still not present. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent, if in attendance, can address the board. Okay, first presentation for the state.
Good morning. Thank you, board members. Seamus Monahan, representing the state. So this matter came before you originally on March 13th, 2023. At that time, you reviewed the survey. The survey found 10 deficiencies in 5 different areas. 3 of those ended up being substantiated related to medication services, emergency and safety standards, and environmental standards. You offered a consent agreement. It was signed May 26, 2023. A complaint notice of hearing was issued after 30 days. No answer was received, so 35 days, excuse me. So this motion to deem was filed. It's of note, 2 things of note. Ms. Delgado did receive, according to Exhibit 1, she did receive the complaint notice of hearing at 11:57 a.m. on May 30th, and she signed for it. So her license at this point is also expired. So the state would just request at this time that you deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as your findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated, and not hold the hearing, vacate the hearing today. And take action, obviously, without the hearing. And the state would suggest that you revoke this license based on the facts. Thank you.
All right. All right, so we want to do a motion to grant, a motion to deem. Okay. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion and move to the motions. The first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion. I move that the board grant the state's motion to deem and the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted.
Second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very well. The board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the parties and jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law?
So moved.
Okay, so I'll just read it through. So the motion is to move that the board adopt the parties of jurisdiction, factual allegations, and allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law. So that is Susan and Wally.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. The final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusion of the law we have adopted. So all the parties to briefly address this issue, first for the state. Anything further?
No, nothing further.
Okay, and Kimberly Delgado, are you present? The record reflect that Ms. Delgado is not present. Now, we deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07, and I make a motion for revocation.
I have a question before I second.
Okay.
So the license is expired right now. The license is expired right now. And if we just let it be expired, she could come back and just reapply.
Correct.
Versus a revocation, which means that she has to wait a year.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Second.
Okay. And Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Very well.
Her license
would be
conserved in administrative status during this time.
She still
need to have the hearing, and then she's on another case. That's why.
She was licensed during, or certified during this time, so she still have jurisdiction.
When a complaint is opened before the license expires, there's another statute that puts it on a administrative suspension kind of status so that you can complete the investigation and come to conclusion on the investigation. So it really doesn't expire until after the conclusion of the investigation.
Same as somebody can't put it inactive right. While they're in the middle of a crisis.
They can, but we as
well. Well, we're not. Yes. Got it.
Thank you.
Just a note. President Kidder, item number 15 in 7A is a complaint against the same respondent that you just revoked. So we'll probably pull that one out of the block vote when we get to it.
Can we combine it?
No.
You don't want to do that. We don't want to do that.
I just wanted to pull it out of that block vote so we can talk about something.
15.
15 is the same person.
Okay. All right.
71.
Jason Wright, tab number 1, page 119.
Good morning. Thank you for talking to speak with me today. Appreciate it.
And for the record, if you just introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Jason Wright.
Okay, cool. I'm going to outline our case.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0432. Licensee Jason Wright was present here today. On May 11th and 12th of 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Hopedale Desert Ridge located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified six deficiencies in six different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. This case was originally started. The manager of record was believed to be a Mr. Musabeliu. He was noticed at the complaint and provided his response and stated that he was the manager from approximately May 7th of 2022 through May 23rd of 2022, and he identified Mr. Wright as the manager of record prior to that. Board records indicate that Mr. Wright was the facility manager from approximately February 16th, 2020 through May 7th, 2022. Mr. Wright was then noticed at the complaint, but staff had not received a written response. And on approximately August 2nd, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil penalty of $500 for one substantiated repeat violation, and Mr. Wright is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you. Yes, I was not present during the time of that survey. I received several months later after departing from Brookdale the deficiencies. I could not recall the deficiencies nor be able to verify. The repeat deficiency was one that obviously very upsetting because I took very good records of making sure that any employees, especially ones that were trained, were not on the floor until they were certified. All credentials and requirements were met. So unfortunately, I'm not able to recall that deficiency or what the employee, who the employee was. My departure was April 30th of 2022. So I'm just kind of pleading to the board here. I'm not sure what, you know, how to address this. I don't know, again, the circumstances. I had a business office manager. I tried to call them, but she was not long after me departed. So I have no way to be able to look at these deficiencies and be able to make any type of determination.
Well, I guess let's just ask some historical questions of what your setup was prior to your departure. So somebody that's going through training or somebody that needs vetting to determine if they are properly trained and certified, who is responsible for that?
Well, ultimately, it's me to make sure someone's not off the floor or working if they're not up to credentials to be on the floor.
Was there another individual that was responsible for the day-to-day management of that facet?
Yes, we have a business office manager who does HR and hiring okay. practices. But I will say to the board, after my first trip to the board was with a hiring a non-certified caregiver. Or having one on the floor. I never wanted to come back here again, and I had my own cross-reference records to make sure that didn't happen. Now, of course, I can't go back and see what happened or why that, during the deficiency, why we didn't have that stuff in place or why someone was on the floor if they shouldn't have been, because I could not be able to get that information. But yes, we do have other people. I am, again, the ultimate one who is, you know, with the license on the board, but I do have the designees who do day-to-day operations as well.
So, yeah, okay, so describe, How is it set up structurally? Yes, you're ultimately responsible, but you assign somebody for this task.
Yes.
How did that work?
So depending on the staff that we're hiring, you know, you go through the hiring process. Sometimes I'm a part of that, sometimes I'm not. After that, it is the responsibility of our HR department to be able to get all the credentials, making sure if they're still in training, if they're not on the floor, that all the boxes are checked before that employee goes onto the floor and works. I get a copy of that for a second hand to make sure, again, trust and verify, right? And so making sure that we are doing that because it happens sometimes when we're not paying attention to an uncertified caregiver get on the force. I never want that to happen. So I don't know what her practices were and how that could have happened. Yes, that's been her responsibility. But I understand my role too.
How did you monitor her actions to determine that?
We had a cross-reference spreadsheet that the corporation had that basically showed from every box, and an employee could not go onto the floor unless it was a green light at the bottom. So that from training, from this caregiver certification to CPR, fingerprint clearance card, training, Brookdale's requirements, all had to be verified and checked off and have a green light to start before anyone can go onto the floor. So what happened there after that?
Who was your check and balance? The business manager responsible to check the boxes?
Yes.
And who was responsible to monitor them?
I would monitor them.
Okay. All right, and was this occurring prior to your departure?
It was, everything was great during my time before I left. I made sure all checks and balances were in place before I left.
You were able to identify any discrepancies with any employee that was not properly certified at that time?
No.
But you were conducting the audits of the business manager.
All until my last day.
Yes, sir.
So somebody didn't maintain your process after you left?
That's what it seems. And I did try to go back. I was probably some, you know, 6 months after I left just to get something. There was nothing I could obtain.
Did you get the kind of corrections at least reviewed?
I did get it in the mail, correct. And I reviewed it and again could not, I do not know who those folks are. I didn't, could not cross-reference them.
So you did reach out to get the kind of corrections?
I did. Well, yeah, it was delivered to me in the mail by the state. I did not get it from Brookdale. I have had no, other than a call to Brookdale to see if the business manager's there, I have no contact with Brookdale.
But you personally got the sanction of $500?
Yes.
And you paid the $500?
I have not paid the $500 yet.
No, that would go to the facility.
I was also assessed a $500 civil fine, which I was hoping to discuss today.
By DHS?
Yes.
It's not us.
By DHS?
Yeah. Yes.
You weren't the licensee.
Correct. That's why I really wanted to be here. I wasn't sure where I stood. So
DHS imposes penalties to the facility. Yes. So that would be for the facility.
Yes. Okay. My apologies. Just because of my last, I'm still PTSD from my last efficiency. My apologies. This did come to me in the mail along with the deficiencies, and I will admit I did not respond to those deficiencies because there was nothing I could really determine in those statement deficiencies.
I don't think you owe this.
Well, if nothing
comes
from you, don't owe
$500. Thank you. I'm so glad I got a second job.
Do you
want to?
No.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm glad we clarified
that. Thank you so much. All right.
Is your other consent agreement done and open?
The only thing I've received in the mail was this, along with the statement.
Not talking about previous.
Yeah, nothing. I have not
the one that caused you PTSD.
Oh, that one, that was 2 years ago.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find insufficient evidence and dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0432 against manager Jason Wright.
I'll count a second.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well.
Thank you for your time today and sorry for my tardiness.
I'll try to get out of somehow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, this time we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back to the hearing. Award, complaint number 2022, NCI 0462.
I'm going to go to 95.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, before we get started, there are preliminary matters. There's some preliminary matters that I would like to make a motion to go to the executive session.
Second.
Dave Cameron Wally for the executive session.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, we will recess for executive session, so we'll leave the remainder of the room. All right, back in session. Okay, still in discussion for preliminary matters. I'd like to hear from state and also counsel for the respondent.
Would you like to hear from the respondent first?
Sure.
It's our motion.
Go ahead, Kate.
If I may, Mr. President, because I believe what they're going to start addressing are motions that are not agendized for today. There are other matters under open meeting law, and so we won't address them specifically. So I would keep this very, very just on the periphery of maybe a motion to continue, not in specifics, and for it to be enough information for the board to make a decision.
Okay. All right. You okay with that, Jen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is Jennifer Wasserman. On behalf of the respondent, I'm with the law firm Davis Miles McGuire Gardner. This matter was noticed for hearing at 10:30 a.m. this morning, and due to a medical emergency on behalf of the respondent, we had made a request for a motion for continuance of the hearing and supplied supporting documentation for that. Respectfully, we ask that you consider that as being due cause for continuance. And if that is granted, then I presume that the board can proceed to consider the motion to remand to the investigative hearing, unless you prefer to do both today, because we had also submitted a motion to remand to investigative, back to the investigative stage for further development of the facts of this case, basically, at which time the respondent would be able to address the board as well, but today she's unable to. So we kind of have a little bit of a procedural give and take. But if you will grant the continuance, I think that will allow all of the parties the opportunity to sort that out and determine if a further investigative proceedings are allowed prior to the formal hearing.
Is there a time that you have on that request for continuance budget?
I left it open because we're still awaiting some more medical decisions from the specialists, just presently maybe scheduled for surgery immediately, or maybe we're waiting to hear back from her professionals. But she did, just for the record, she did submit the and was approved to go inactive during the time that she is temporarily disabled right now.
Okay. All right, Seamus.
Thank you, board members. Seamus, I am from the state. Now, I have reviewed the motions. I will leave it up to the board as to, you know, whether you want to, you know, which motion that you want to consider or grant. However, because the license has been placed in an active status, the only way that the respondent could work is to come back before the board specifically and be released to go back to work. That's a consideration here. So there's not a danger to public health and safety at this point. There may be some factual questions that the board may glean by having an interview. So if you feel that that's appropriate, okay. If you want to continue the matter, okay. I would definitely not continue the hearing indefinitely. I would set that for a date certain. But again, the state doesn't have a position, and there does appear to be a doctor's note and a reasonable request for accommodation. So.
All right. So at this time, I will make a motion for a continuance for 30 days.
If I may, we respectfully, I would, just so that we're not here again asking for an additional continuance, because she is in inactive status and there's no exigent circumstances to, she does not have a license on any facility at this point in time.
can we request a 90-day continuance just so that there's a definiteness and no further complications?
My concern with that length of time is this has been already been going on since last fall. So it's like at some point, you guys got to pull it together and be prepared to present your case. So I think 90 days is not reasonable.
Well,
I think that 30 days is reasonable. And if board members are interested in expanding that to some greater length of time, okay.
Maybe in the middle at 6:30.
Well, we have a motion on the table. So
the motion is a continuance for 30 days.
Second.
Okay, so it's Ken and Wally.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Nay.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, so the motion carries, and the board directs staff to continue to work during this next period of time for reaching an amicable settlement at the conclusion of this case. Any further matters regarding this that we need to attend to?
I don't think so. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer. All right, let's move back to section 7A. All right, Phil, that's been a little bit. Could you just briefly re-summarize?
Claim 2023-NCI-0047. Licensee is Deborah Ann Pineda, who is present here today. And on September 28, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Amber Assisted Living Home located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Pineda was noticed of the complaint that she did provide a written response. On approximately December 16, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantiated violations. 3 of those were repeat deficiencies. And Ms. Pineda is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
All right, Ms. Pineda, who actually operates this? You don't spend that much time there, 3 to 4 hours, 3 days a week.
Yes.
Is that about right? Okay. Who's running the show?
The owner and the caregiver, and then me when I'm there.
Okay. You're going to need to speak up. Outside voice.
Oh.
Please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, we've got some repeat deficiencies. Do you think the amount of time that you're spending there is sufficient? You know, how do we know that you fix these problems so that they're not going to happen again, and how is it that you're monitoring that?
Yeah, I left instructions on the dates of when these papers are due, and when they're supposed to be renewed, you know. And the owner takes care of it, and I keep reminding, just reminders, I keep reminding.
So you mean you have to keep reminding to complete the same task over and over again?
Yes.
And does that task eventually get completed? Okay, and so how do you monitor to ensure all these tasks are being completed in a timely manner?
So when I'm there, like I look at all the books and make sure that all these papers are in place. Just so happened that when the inspector came, like the caregiver, the employee was already supposed to have renewed his fingerprint license, but he needed a ride from the owner to take him to the UPS. And then it just so happened that inspection came and he hasn't gotten it yet.
So what did you write in your plan of correction? Because that program that you have in place to leave dates to remind the owner isn't working very well. So what was your plan of correction? Did you help write the plan of correction?
It's worked, you know, all these times, except for those.
The two times that it didn't? And so what is the plan of correction for that?
I'm really on top of it, you know. If he's not able to, he just has to tell me, and I'll do it for him.
But what if he doesn't tell you, and he just lets it go? Who's gonna make sure it's done? You're responsible for that, though. And if he doesn't tell you, I mean, do you ask him every time you come?
Like I think even if I'm not there, I call, like, has it been done?
It's the same repeats from a year ago. And you can't say they just delivered the oxygen bottles today and they did it the last time too, just that day. I mean, same stuff.
Instructions that, like, when oxygen is delivered, it should immediately go to the place where it's supposed to go and secured, you know. And it just so happened that when the inspector came, it was just delivered.
Both times? 21 and 22?
I don't remember the first time, but the second time, it was about to be put in place.
Have you written the plan of correction in 2021? Did you write that?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
And you wrote the current plan of correction as well, correct? So what kind of language do you use when you write plans of correction to citations when you're responding to DHS? What kind of language do you use in that?
English?
Do you say something to the effect that I will ensure that O2 is properly stored, and it will not occur again?
Yes.
So if you say that, why isn't it happening? Just because they deliver it. So what do you do to hold the staff accountable to make sure that those kind of citations are not repeated, since you're only there 3 to 4 hours a week?
I just keep reminding them.
Do you have authority to discipline the staff and or hire new people if the other staff will not carry out your directives?
Yes.
Have you done that?
Yes.
And it still occurs.
I know.
Maybe you need to spend more time there.
I intend to so that these things don't occur anymore.
Well, intend to and doing, how do you do that when you have a second facility?
Yes, and I have a job too.
So you have a job and two facilities.
Mm-hmm. But I can go there like 2 to 3 hours every day just to make sure that everything is in order.
I think some additional education would be appropriate as well.
Can I just ask one more question before we deliberate? Did the owner communicate to you that Department House or APS was called and notified when they came to your home?
Again?
Adult Protective Services came to your home. Were you notified?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready to prepare to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R 433-407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023 NCI 0047 involving manager Deborah Panina. And the board offer a consent agreement to be consigned within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, personnel requirements, environmental standards, and these other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of R-433-501-82. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
And Susan, second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. I appreciate your being here today, and staff will be working with you. Okay, next, we're going to take items 2 through 7, 10, 12, 13, as a block vote. Do you last 3 minutes? Today,
10, 12,
13. 13, 1 through 3 through 7.
Two through seven.
10, 12, and 13.
I'll check. So I'll make a motion to approve the staff recommendation for disciplinary consent agreement and our formal period.
Second.
Susan.
I'll let you have the motion.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. And then item number 15, Kimberly Delgado, 2022 NCI 0625.
You're not going to dismiss that, are you? Yeah. I would just offer the consent agreement in case the other one's appealed.
Just offer the consent agreement?
Yeah, we revoked her license. She could appeal, and okay. So it's always better to have that other case just in case something happened to that one.
Okay.
All right, so that's going to be tab 15. 1 second.
So we're going to add it to the vote there to go with staff recommendation. Okay, good.
And did we do 14?
Yes, yeah, we did. Okay. Okay.
All right, so this is. So this one, it will just be forwarded.
That's fine. My suggestion was going to be dismissed without prejudice, but either way is a good way to handle it.
Yeah.
manage it. We haven't heard much from her. I don't think she's going to appeal the revocation, but we'll wait and see either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can just opt in.
And then this is administratively closed if we accept it. All right.
Yeah.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, it was that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R 433407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2022-NCI-0625 involving manager Kimberly L. Delgado, and the board forwarded to formal hearing.
Second. President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right.
May I ask one question about this case? Are there any mandatory recorders to record this to the registry law? Because she also states in one of her emails she's a caregiver.
It's a good question, Mr. President, Board Member Brimhall. I think there has to be a criminal conviction to meet that requirement for reporting, but I'm not positive. I do know that there are one or two criminal investigations going on with Tucson PD with this, but I don't know the status or the outcome.
Okay.
If you want to make a motion to send it over, I'm happy to.
I'll do a motion to send it over to what we do to the mandatory registering law. And we can at least attach the APS report and the Tucson police report.
And second.
That's Sue.
Wally, second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. Let's move on to the director report. Online training program.
Mr. President, members of the board, actually attached the, our rules for the online caregiver manager training program were effective on June 15th. That's the day they were filed with Secretary of State's office. And I included, I did a communication plan / notification to all of our schools by email that went out a week or two ago. I've gotten a couple questions from program owners, which are still pending, but online training is up and running. So, I hope the industry is happy about that. They kind of brought us that proposal at the end of last year. We finally got it done. So I just want to let the board know that it's effective. I've notified all the training programs that it's effective and moving on.
Does testing stay the same?
Yes.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, I've been getting some feedback on testing about headmasters lately. They've changed a lot of their procedures with the online testing. There doesn't seem to be real good notification from headmasters to our training programs, so we're trying to address that. It's a constant push with them to make sure that all of our training programs are apprised of that. But yeah, everybody's been no changes with testing, headmasters, or anything like that. Just particular time. That contract is coming up.
I was just going to ask: is it mandatory that we stay with a third-party tester?
Is it mandatory that we stay with a no? Not in the long run. It's not mandatory. But they were on a 5-year contract that I don't know much about because it was started years ago, but I know it's coming up to renewal and termination. So it would be something that could be reviewed by the board, either extend that, put it back out for bid.
We didn't get any input from stakeholders from back in the training programs?
Who?
We as a board,
Yes. If you want to do that, yes. I don't know the exact term of the contract, but as far as feedback for the contract, I'm not sure how much feedback the board wants. It's it's basically testing for managers and caregivers. Could we reduce that cost with a new contract? I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of information on it.
Yeah, cost is one part, the headache is another.
Of what?
Of their management system of how they test.
Are people complaining about it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't dealt with it a lot. My personal opinion to this point is that we can't make everybody happy all the time. There's always a rural applicant that shows up and proctor's not available. There's, you know, the proctors are for the online testing are now setting up the times for the testing. I don't know how we make that better.
You just need to make me happy. I don't think anybody else really matters.
I will always work at making the board happy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't mean anybody else either.
Thanks, Susan.
Let me see. I don't have anything else online. You want me to run through this, Mr. President, or?
Sorry.
I don't know how much time you want to spend.
Oh, somebody, I have been approached with the question about, is continuing ed going to be allowed to be online completely? Are our renewal hours?
I'm happy to answer that. I'm not sure we have it on the agenda, though.
Oh, it's not part of the training concept? No. Okay. No. Can we put it on the agenda for a discussion?
Absolutely, or I can just answer you after the meeting.
Thanks, that's great.
I don't think there's any prohibitions on continuing education with online.
Only X amount of hours are allowed to be not in person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So could that be 100% in online versus?
If the board chooses to change that regulation in some way.
Well, if we're doing training, I'm just kind of mixing and matching concepts.
You want me to put it on a future meeting for discussion?
I'd be happy to discuss it.
Sure.
Because people have asked me, so I don't know what answer to give them.
I will make a note.
Thanks.
What else?
All right, budget.
I included a screenshot of budget to date. As you may be aware, we're done with fiscal year 2023. We have some money left over, but that's only because we finally got DOA and CSB to understand our reimbursement of investigative costs. My understanding that it's been a long discussion since Al was here. He can never get that money rolled back into the appropriation. We finally got them to approve that. So $49,000 in reimbursement investigative costs was rolled back into our appropriation for 2023. Meaning we have reuse of that money. In that same thing will happen next fiscal year. So
where was it going?
It was going back into our cash fund. It was going back into our checking account, but we couldn't reuse it.
It could be scrapped.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So now it's coming back in, and we can use that money for IT stuff, for contract investigators. If we want to spend more with what we have, spend more hours or hire another contract investigator to do investigation.
So Phil can retire? Really?
What's that?
So Phil can really retire?
Phil doesn't want to retire. He likes it.
He tries.
See this file?
He's always jolly.
I don't have anything else on the budget report. We started next fiscal year, 2024. I'm going to be talking about money here later in this report, which is going to roll into our budget submissions for 2025. Licensing and investigation statistics. The staff, Danita, Jane, Eileen, Stacy did a wonderful job with my goals for the managers.
Yay,
good. That's great.
I don't know if you guys realize how much phone time we spend with applicants on manager renewals, but it was excessive. But we got it done. Big thank you from me
to
all of you. Thank you for picking up with me. We'll get into the next thing. We lost about 500 managers, which what I hear is about the norm for manager renewals. So we had just under 2,500 going into the renewal. We're now down to 1,900, just under 2,000 as of last night. Certified managers. So that's just a little bit on the stats. I don't know what the.
That means there's not enough to cover every building.
And only 239 nursing
homes. Is that the administrators?
Mm-hmm.
So 239?
No, 301. Grand total is 301.
Okay. There's your administrator stat. Ken. Starts on page 2170. It's the highlighted number there, Becky.
Oh, 327.
Yeah, it's 327.
And then 1989
for the managers. Then there's 51 temps right now. You got 45 caregiver training programs, 17 manager training programs, five administrator temps. And then as far as statistics, the next pages 2171 through whatever the last one is, 2176 are the number of open applications. I think I counted 364 open complaints. And this is the list of those. The highlighted fields are differing statuses.
Total number of open complaints?
I believe it was 364.
Does that include what we did today?
No, that includes today. So we have a couple languishing from late 2021. We only have two from 21 still open. Then we get into the 2022 complaints. A lot of those are further on in the process of hearing and consent agreements, that sort of thing. Again, Danita and Phil and Al have done a really good job of keeping up with this. We probably should be around about 200, 250 open, but we're starting to get at that max economies of scale. So staff can't really produce more than what we're producing right now. And we've been having a board meeting every month. So the next item here, real quick, is 2024 legislative sunset review. That's on page
218.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is the notification from the legislature to the board that they're going to do another sunset review. So if you remember kind of how I kind of came here at the back end of that in 2021, we got a 2-year lease on life as far as the agency's concerned. Two years flies by, we're here. So they're doing it what I call administrator review. This time they're not sending in the Auditor General, although the Auditor General is still working on their 36 month review from 2 years ago, and it's just going to happen to coincide with this. The only thing that they're still looking at is complaints and investigations. I think the political part of this is that they've kind of slow rolled this so they can have their DHS audit and ours come before the legislature at the same time. So we'll be going down there telling the legislature we have to respond to these sunset factors that are in this letter. I will draft that. I'll bring that to you before we send it down. The due date on this is September 1st, so we still got a couple months. And these are pretty standard bureaucratic responses to these sunset factors. Why are you here? Are you doing your job? Are you protecting the public? Are you issuing licenses in a timely fashion? All those kinds of things we have to respond to. And then, probably late this year, November, December, we'll start committee meetings. Joint Health Committee from the Senate and the House will get together. They'll decide to give us recommendations out whether to renew us as a standalone agency, consolidate us with DHS. That whole thing is going to happen again. It's my prediction. So this is kind of the first notification of it. We have to respond to it. FYI.
Jack?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned you think they're slow rolling. I think you, this the term you used. And
bringing, I take that back.
Well, just DHS and the agency here coming together about the same time.
Okay.
Just help me understand the ramifications of that, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. I'm not sure I really understand what that means.
In short, Department of Health Services was audited by the Office of the Attorney General. That report came out last year. You might have seen the newspaper articles. Short-staffed, have thousands and thousands of inspections to do, all the same thing that we dealt with. But it was at for DHS. So that audit, they're not done with that audit. They're not done with that sunset review of Department of Health Services. We happen to be going through the same type of thing the same time they are. And if you know, this agency has been on the list for consolidation for years and years and years. It's the perfect time to talk about the combining of agencies for a common purpose when they're both under audit and they're both being scrutinized by the legislature. It's just a logical put one and one together.
So, as a board, what would you advise us in terms of we need to start thinking about to be able to appropriately guide that discussion, at least from our perspective. How do we go about that, or do we just wait until we get hit over the head?
Well, I'm not very proactive, so sometimes I react better to get hit over the head.
Well, but you want to think about that maybe and come back?
We've actually, so in response, it's a great question, Rich. In response to that, we've been doing it. Mm-hmm. We have opened up every single complaint that's been referred to us from DHS. Our numbers, the number of cases that we've investigated, the number of disciplinary actions that we've taken over the last year has tripled since that original audit. The proof is in the pudding. Legislature, state of Arizona, governor, look what this board has done over the last year and a half. Look how we've managed our cases. Look at the actions we've taken. We are protecting the public. We're getting rid of bad actors. We're revoking those licenses. And we're making this place safer for our patients. I think that's the message that's the soundbite we stick to because we've done it. And the board itself, you guys are the ones that are meeting every month, looking at these cases, making decisions. With the soundbite, the communication is not going to be different from that. I'm going to use the stats that we put up to say we are doing our job and we will continue to do it. Now, do we need more hands to get this done a little quicker? Probably. But that comes with a budget submission. So I think we've done what they've asked us to do.
Well, but the two audits coming together are, in my mind anyway, legitimately, we are both trying to do the same thing, just different responsibilities. How could we be more proactive in terms of saying we need better coordination, we need better support, we need better so that they and we can work together more effectively to really even improve the quality of care that our residents deserve?
That's a different question. I think our stats are going to outshine what DHS has opened up. My personal opinion. But to effectively lobby this and work it between now and December, we need to start asking, we need to respond to this. We need to start asking for meetings with the members that are going to be on this joint health committee. Get in front of them one-on-one with the help of our partners out there in the industry. and telling them the story, telling them what we've done. That's the only way I know to manage it and get in front of that. I don't know another way to do it, so I will be asking for everybody's help. I don't know what else we can do to communicate how much we've done over the last year. So.
Well, I appreciate your comment on getting in front of it. It's usually a nicer position, I think, than being behind it.
Well, we know that when we were under the gun 2 years ago, it's an entirely different landscape. And at that time, we personally went down and testified before every committee that would talk to us and explain what we do and why we do. DHS never once said, we want to take you over, because they don't. They do entirely different than we do. And while we complement each other, our downfall, truthfully, was because when the governor said he was going to disband this committee, we lost all of our staff but one person. Everybody left to go find another job because they had car payments, child payments, they needed to eat. They could not wait to see what was going to happen next. And as everything went through, we ended up with a new executive director. We dragged Phil back and Alan back, and we've been able to catch up. For the 3 months, we could not investigate. We couldn't answer the phone. We couldn't do anything. I mean, when your staff walks out and you don't even have the password to get on the computer, something's wrong. I mean, it was just, but anyway, so we don't have to deal with that. All we need to do is tell the story of what we're doing now. We have the numbers to back it up, and we're on top of it. We're not hearing, generally, we're not hearing cases a year over. Or longer, sure, except
extremes.
Certain things, like today, we have a case before us that's almost a year old, but it's not our fault, it's being continued. So I think we've done a wonderful job. I'm not the least bit concerned, and I'm ready to go down and talk to the legislator again.
I think Denise is ready to go down too.
Kind of already.
She told me that.
Yeah. Is there not precedent though that the type of board that we are that actually does the licensing and the discipline cannot be part of the regulatory agency that is DHS?
Or
the only conflict that I've seen is with administrators on the federal level. Mm-hmm. And that goes back, I can go back through our legacy documents and see that that's why this was ended up becoming a standalone board, I believe. So there's some federal guidance on that conflict between.
From CMS,
So, but as far as managers, I don't think they're a similar conflict.
Well, the managers are, in our setting, are unique in Arizona.
Yeah.
Very unique.
Okay.
Did anybody else have any questions on that? That's good. Good comments. I like all the help I can get.
Let's move on to the proposed fee increase.
Mr. President, do you want to vote on the fee increase or proposed fee increase today?
2023.
This kind of segues from the budget stuff I was talking about into some more hands. Last time, what I have, this is page 21-84. We haven't had a fee increase on any of our fees for over 10 years. For whatever reason. I'm in a position where I'm going to start asking for more resources from the board, but I need the revenue and the budget to justify that. Mm-hmm. Need some more hands as far as investigations are concerned, and another pair of hands for management. When all this stuff is flowing in, so we've over tripled our caseload. You may not have noticed that, but we're opening triple the cases that we were before. We're having a hard time managing that. When that volume hits the front door, we have to look at them, decide whether they're within our jurisdiction, whether or not they have to be investigated, whether or not we have the right manager. That all takes time. So when you're dealing with 75 to 100 cases per month, it's been hard for us to keep up with that. So I want to increase the budget so that I can get some more hands with investigators, and another set of hands internally to manage the cases. We're doing okay with licensing. Manager renewal is just always, for the last few times I've been here, is just all hands on deck. But after that, I want to increase the budget. My ask, I included two numbers here. We are max, our ceiling and statute is like, I can't increase fees more than 25% at any one time. So the stats I have in here representing 22% increase in fees across the board. And then the second column is a 25% increase in fees across the board. From everything from initial applications to initial licensing fees to renewals for both managers and administrators. So if you look at the first line there, for example, is initial administrator application is currently $150. A 22% increase in that fee would be $33. So initial application for administrator would be $183, a 22% increase, and $187.50 at 25% increase. That same logic carries through all the rest of our fees down to biannual renewal of your license, inactive, every single fee that we have, I'm suggesting that we increase it. The reason I added two different fee increases. There's not much difference between a 22 and a 25% increase. The 22% increase can do what I want to do over 2 years as far as a set of hands for staff and another contract investigator, more hours at, you know, $30, $50 an hour for an investigator. So either one will do what I want, but I wanted you to see what the difference was in the two different percentages. My ask is that you approve a 22% increase in our fees. If you do that, we have to write rules. It's not immediate. I have to get a hold of a rule writer. We have to draft changes to our rules. We have to go through the rulemaking process, which is we file with the Governor Regulatory Review Council. We have a public meeting. We get feedback, we roll this out to everybody, and we hear the complaints or the praises for that fee increase. It's not a quick process. As you know, like our online manager training or caregiver training, that took us close to 10 months. So if you approve an increase today, we are probably looking at March through June of next year when it would be effective.
So you want 22%?
Yes, that's what I'm asking for.
Make a motion to approve for a 22% increase for all of our licensing fees. That's a good question. Yeah, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Rich.
Well, I guess I don't have any experience with this, but I'm seeing that the fees for the managers are substantially less than administrators. Can you help me understand why that is, or what goes on that makes that some of the things so different between the two?
I don't have the original justification. So this would go back to when the fees were originally set. And there would have been justification in the rules for that, but I'm not privy to that. I don't know why.
I think it was because as an administrator of a nursing home, you are you take a federal and a state test.
That's included in that?
No, it's not included in that. It's just the license, but that's your education. You have to have a federal and state test to get your license as a nursing home administrator. Then as a manager, you just take the training classes and pass the test, and then you do that. So as an administrator of a nursing home, you have to have 50 credit hours per year for 2 years. And as a manager of an ALF, it's 24 credit hours every 2 years.
And one is more driven medically, whereas
Medicare.
Manager is non-medical.
It's just an overall look. If I look, and I've been in a couple other agencies, the fees across the board for this agency are a little lower than a lot of the other agencies. For example, the MDs, the DOs, the nurses, they all seem to have a little higher, on the higher end of the fee spectrum than what we have. And that's based upon a true accounting, is that the industry fees as a 90-10 agency we're self-funding. So the programs that we run, investigation, licensing, and staff, should be based upon that cost. So the difference between the fees I can't answer, but all of our fees together should support what your staff needs to get the job done. So those other agents, this is a smaller agency. I wouldn't even consider this a medium-sized agency. The other ones have 20,000-30,000 licensees. Their fees are higher to cover all of that. So that's the concept that I would use in explaining the difference.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion on the table for a 22% increase. And we have a motion and a second. Ready for a vote?
President.
I have a discussion question.
Yes.
Why are we not going for 25? You're talking.
Given where inflation is and how.
I mean, where inflation is, I mean, everything else, I don't want to come back and realize that we need to do it in another 2 years. It's going to take us almost 2 years to get this approved anyway.
Just for some, you know.
I'm sorry.
It's a good question. I just, for some reason, it's just hard for me to ask for the ceiling of the.
I don't mind asking.
In the long run, I guess, if we get this through and it goes in next year, in another year, we could come back with a more reasonable request for a 2 or 4% increase. I think for right now, I'm comfortable with 22%.
Because it's going to take us a long time to get it approved. It is. By the time we do,
yep.
We should do it more. And you're right. I just looked up the barber fees. Yep. We're lower.
Yes.
The cosmetology fee, we're lower.
Your staff
this is more important than a hairdresser. Sorry, girls.
No. your staff is just not greedy. Well, your staff is not greedy. We don't need all the money.
I was going to say, it's not a greedy question. I just thought maybe we could all do it. If that's what we're authorized by law, then that's what we should do. That's fine.
All right, let's take it to a vote, guys.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
No.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, we're on to proposed draft enforcement matrix.
Mr. President, members of the board, I just wanted to say, we don't have to vote on this today. I'm trying to establish, this started with board member Hill. She wanted to, and we set up a subcommittee, I just haven't had time to get the subcommittee together. This is the first draft of us setting up criteria for dismissal of complaints by both the board as well as staff. So when I want to get something in writing, as far as some criteria, so we don't have to investigate cases. And also, if a case comes over from DHS and it meets the criteria for dismissal, we don't necessarily have to write a report for it. So this is the first shot at setting up that criteria. When we have a little more time, maybe we can have a discussion on it and a vote, and then I can put it into policy. Right now, we don't have any criteria written for investigations, dismissals of complaints, and I want to start developing an enforcement matrix. We're going to start with dismissal, then we're going to start looking at letters of concern for first hit, disciplinary actions, so that we can start trying to take consistent decisions on all of our enforcement cases. But I don't necessarily need to vote on it today. I just wanted to first blush for the board on what I'm thinking about. And I haven't gotten tons of feedback from staff. I don't know if Phil's seen this yet. I think Al may have seen it, but
I want to get out to all the staff to perfect it also. So we'll bring it back to you for a vote.
So is the committee going to get together? I think I'm on it.
You are. I just haven't had time to schedule it. But I would like to get more of the criteria written down and drafted before we start bringing all those resources. And I think we'll be just going more drafted that way.
Is it your intention that we follow that every time? Because when you hear some of these cases and you hear their story, you decide it right then because you don't necessarily go with the recommendation. And we need that flexibility.
Absolutely. And everything that will always remain a case-by-case basis.
It can't be black and white here.
But as far as our recommendations to you and handling of that initial allegation, that's going to get the product to you a little quicker, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I'm not. I don't want to box the board in on their decisions.
Okay.
But an enforcement matrix is more or less a guideline for staff, for the industry to use. So when they get a complaint, they can refer to our enforcement matrix and say, "Oh, okay. So the first time I've ever had deficiency, I filed a plant correction within 60 days. I haven't had any priors. I now know that I'm probably not going to get my license revoked, but it will either be dismissed or I might get a letter of concern." As a guideline, there's always that every case is going to be looked at on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All
right.
Anything further?
Yeah. Just along that same line, I like the idea of the enforcement matrix, but I'd like to see if we could also create a matrix that helps me understand how people end up with non-disciplinary letters of concern and how they get consent agendas. And it, I understand fully it has to be broad, it can't be perfect. It might be good, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
That's exactly where we're heading.
And that would help everybody, including board members like myself, kind of have a sense of we're in the right place. And I think it would help the industry, just as you said, kind of go, oh yeah, I'm really going to get my block knocked off, or I'm not.
What case looks like a dismissal? You know, what's a dismissal, what's a letter of concern? That's what we're working towards.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anything else? Okay. Make a motion to adjourn at 11:55 a.m.
Thank you, everybody.
No, I want to see.